You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, is it possible for you to disconnect from technology and enjoy life to the fullest? I doubt it. Hey, wait till you hear what the kids are abusing now. And while we're on the topic, is it about time you invested in the cannabis industry? Let's meet the friends. After a long hiatus, a couple run-ins with Hollywood starlets, our official space captain is here. Welcome back, Chris Martin.
Thank you. Good to be back. Yet another popular billionaire joins the private space race.
He's the host of the new show, Thrash Pie Radio, coming to a podcast outlet near you. Always ready with alternative election coverage, Ted Thrash Pie Pritchard.
So we got a bunch of, you know, self-made billionaires on the program today. And another one announcing that he'll jump in the race. You know which race I'm talking about.
Oh.
Yeah?
He'll jump in.
He'll jump in. All he's got to do is get the word. If you force him, and yeah, he's a winner.
If you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the program by doing that because the folks over at iTunes, in the dark of night, under the cover of darkness, they read your comments and they snicker about them. But just the same, they notice your five-star reviews. It helps the show. I promise it does. And don't forget, while you're there, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Now let's get started. Chris, it's been so long. I think the honors go to you, sir. Get things going. And who's taking us into space now?
Jeff Bezos.
Bezos? Does he say Bezos or Bezos?
It's probably Bezos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the exact pronunciation of it. But he is the founder of Amazon, which is a pretty large company, and I think he's done pretty well by that founding.
I think so.
And when you have all that money and all that time, you have to do something with it. So he's decided that he's going to build a rocket manufacturing plant and launch site in Florida called Blue Origin. He will be competing with Elon Musk's SpaceX program.
Wow.
Exactly. But both of those, it's interesting. They both founded their businesses is SpaceX a California or a Nevada company?
SpaceX is in Hawthorne, California.
Okay, well, that blows my theory then, because I was thinking they were looking at two tax-free states.
Yeah,
who knows where. Can't you have your license somewhere else or your business license somewhere else and still do your manufacturing in one of those states?
I don't know, but Tehran checked in, and they want regular inspections done.
Tehran?
Of the rocket plant.
24 days, and they'll be ready.
Yeah, they want to come over and inspect the rocket plant.
It's not going to be cheap. Jeff plans to invest $200 million into the program.
That's beer money for him.
Yeah, I know. $200 million's nothing. But they're testing a small rocket now that goes about 100 miles out into space and then returns safely. But they plan to reach orbital altitudes of 250 miles and beyond.
And see, initially, all this is, in our lifetime, is if you can afford a ticket, 100 grand, 150 grand, whatever it is, all you're going to do is go up there in orbit. And you're going to
float around a little bit.
Yeah, and look down, back down on Earth. And it's like, just a spectacular thing. That's the experience. So you're not really going anywhere.
No, it's like the Alan Shepard launch when I was in third grade.
Yeah.
Up and down. That
or
was
it's
it.
Like one of our great sponsors, the Spirit Cruises, Harbor Cruise. You're not really going anywhere. You're just kind of cruising around the harbor.
Yes. And then, only the Harbor Cruise doesn't cost $350,000 or whatever.
What it is?
Who knows? I don't know what the ticket
is. You know what would
they
help?
They haven't been set yet, the prices.
They could get a higher price if, in fact, the flight attendants were Amazons.
There you go. I'm okay. On board. Better than Hooters.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, there better be a great in-flight meal for what you have to pay to
get
a ticket
and
to space.
Right, and a nice flat-screen TV.
Right.
So let's take a guess as to what celebrities have already signed up for the first ride.
Like, Justin Bieber.
didn't Tom Hanks buy a ticket on Elon Musk's already?
I think he did, yes.
Right? Like $500,000? Sure, I'm on.
That's what it was?
I think so.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That seems to be the range.
The seats in the front. Yeah, if you pay $500,000, you get a seat in the front, and you get to walk into the cockpit and say hello to the captain.
Cool. How much do you have to pay to grab the steering wheel for a minute?
And whatever you do, don't press that button.
Yes. The big red button that says do not press.
Yes, exactly. Oh, gosh. Oh, speaking of big screens, people watched a little bit of TV this week that have been their TV was getting a little dusty for about 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. See if you can figure out what I'm going to talk about next when I do this. Bum ba da bum ba da bum 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 bum. That's a terrible impersonation of the NFL theme song.
Was that what that was? The NFL theme song?
I'm sure. I knew it right away.
Did you? The problem is I did the ending chorus as opposed to the beginning, but that's it.
Right?
Good. Well done. Right. The NFL is back, and go figure, it's as dominant as ever. It's responsible for 5 of the 10 highest rated shows last week on television.
Yeah, it makes absolute sense to me. It just does.
Sure. All those people that's been waiting, sitting back, they're not fans of baseball or whatever sports are going on now. And
no one's a fan of baseball until October, Phil.
True.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Absolutely true.
You know, you can tell, we who live here in Southern California and drive these wretched freeways all the time, you can go out on Sunday driving and know when NFL starts back up again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Agreed?
But not only are they dominant, but they're dominant in this type of fashion. They took the top 4 spots, including Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football, respectively, pulled about 27 million viewers apiece. The first non-NFL show in the top 10 is 60 Minutes that had 11.5 million viewers. So it double and a half of the first non-football show that was on. America's Got Talent is in there, 6th place with 10.5 million. NCIS on the list with 8 million. College football was actually number 10. So technically football took 6 of the 10 spots.
Wow.
Nobody's watching TV anymore. Those numbers, you can remember this, Ted. I mean, 11 million wouldn't have cracked the top 50 just 15 years ago.
Right. That's because there weren't as many outlets. Now, my big question is, when all of this becomes internet streamed, internet delivered, what do you think's going to happen?
Oh, then there's going to be
the most bandwidth wins. It's going to be a competition for server space and bandwidth.
Well, you know, they're going to have to retool the way the ratings are done, because it isn't just broadcast anymore, but you might be watching broadcast TV on your device.
Right. Correct.
And so it's just a matter of who watched what, and it's
my guess it's going to be really fractionalized. You're going to, you know, instead of having a top 10, you're going to have to look at a top 100.
By the way, Chris, from a sports perspective, before I lose this thought, I'm sorry to interrupt there, Ted, but last week, Ted and I were talking about the Steelers-Patriots game because we were here on Thursday, the day that the opening day of the season.
Okay.
And the over-unders in Vegas for that game was something like 38. Well, if you took the under, if you took the over, you made a ton of money because the Steelers scored like 14 points more than they were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be like a 28-10 game.
And it was like 28-20, something like that.
28-21, yeah.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. And that happened a lot. From what I understand, that happened a lot this weekend. I read something this morning that said that Vegas took it in the shorts this weekend because the home teams, the home favorites, beat the spread 9-4. So like your Green Bay Packers, your Dallas Cowboys, not so much the Dallas Cowboys, but some other home team favorites that people love to bet on.
Yeah.
They beat the spread in almost every case, at least 9 out of 13 times. So
yeah, these are all
that's when Vegas doesn't do so
well. The hopeful bettors, the hopeful homers.
Sure.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. They just bet for their team that's going to cover the spread because they love their team, not because they're savvy about betting.
Guy. We had a whole big thing about my neighbor who's lived in California for 35 years, but a diehard Packers fan. You know, he won't give it up. I tell him, you know, 35 years, bud, you're still a tourist.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Packers are a cult, I'm convinced.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, is there a cult? Is there a Donald Trump cult out there? Well, if there is, Mark Cuban thinks that he has a cult of personality. He's a likable guy on television. I don't know what he's like in public. But is Mark Cuban running for president? We have some indications one way or another next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the Day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
What you say? You're listening to a program on the internet or on your phone? Well, I have news for you. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and my name's in the title. And in the studio with me today are Chris Martin and Ted Pritchard. And Ted,
yeah,
over to you, my friend. Is there something brewing over in the Mark Cuban camp? Is he the dude likes a little wrestling match, doesn't he?
It's confrontation. I think he lives for it. And if, you know, obviously, he, you know, owns a basketball team, and he's there at every game, and he's threatening people that, you know, don't like his whatever.
And he's
whatever.
Another one of those guys who just says what he's thinking.
Absolutely. So
doesn't go to the focus group to find out what the spin is.
He's very Trump-esque in that way.
But is he a Republican?
No, he's a Democrat.
Oh.
All right. So here's what he has said recently in the light, of course, Donald being the favorite big mouth. On the with the you know, the clown car,
yeah,
that empties out in the center ring of the circus,
right,
which they'll be emptying out over here at the Reagan Library tomorrow night. But Cuban says, I can beat Hillary. I can flat out beat Hillary for the office. I can beat her,
really,
to get the nomination.
Oh.
And further, he says, I can crush Trump in a general election.
Hmm. Well, I'd like
I'd
to
laugh
see
at
it.
Contending.
Wow.
I just love the hubris of these guys.
Yeah.
Well, and so we were all talking earlier that the entire political process now, if it's not entertainment, it's nothing.
Huh.
And you don't pay attention.
Yeah.
Then that's why we're paying attention, is because we've got, you know, the clown college.
Sure.
At work.
Of course. But can you imagine? I mean, here's two guys who are not stereotypical politicians, right? They don't go to the focus groups and the consultants and all that to find out what to say, and they don't memorize all the answers. And then when they make a mistake, they don't go and spin the I'm sorry, which ultimately just ends up making them look weak. That's what happens with all the politicians. But that's how they play the game. These guys, they say what they want, and then they don't apologize.
And it doesn't seem to bother them when it comes to the polls.
Yeah.
You know, people like them anyway. They like them because they're human.
Yeah.
They like them because they're like the guy down the street.
Well, see, and this is a great American political experiment, because if we get a guy like this and it ends up just being a ridiculous mistake, we'll learn our lesson, won't we?
Well, we've had, you know, a businessman, at least one that I can think of, that was president, and that's Herbert Hoover.
And he didn't do so well.
Well, they say that he didn't do so well. He got, you know, but he
built a great dam, though.
Built a great dam.
Really good dam.
Yeah.
And a great legacy of, you know, Stanford University, the Hoover Institute. I mean, so there's a lot of things that they did.
Right. But the economy went south while he was in charge.
Exactly.
And his economic policies weren't all that great for the time.
For the time. He was trying to, exactly.
Yeah.
Do you think that Mark Cuban is just speaking his mind in a sort of candid interview, or do you think he's throwing a little bit of bait in the water, feeling the temperature and thinking about getting into politics? Because I have a theory that somebody that rich and that powerful, why sort of get into something like politics?
I hear that theory, but I also hear in these guys, like you brought up Jeff Bezos in the space race.
Mm-hmm.
This is sport for these guys to be the biggest. I mean, it's a penis swinging match, right?
Sure.
Everybody wants to see who's got the biggest one. And now in this case, Cuban sees Trump, who is his peer, right, in the business world.
Yeah.
And they're both on reality TV. They're both huge businessmen. And they're both outspoken, brash individuals who say what they want when they're what they're thinking when they're asked a question.
They both lean pretty much the exact opposite politically.
Yeah. And so one guy says, all right, oh, this is the latest thing that we rich guys do, right? So let's get in. Now, what, if Cuban gets in, then you're going to start seeing some of these other guys. And what's to stop, Jeff Bezos or
nothing. They got the money. They can go
Elon
forward.
Elon Musk. Well, if Elon Musk wasn't born here, where was he born? Finland? I don't know. He's not from around these parts, is he?
Doesn't sound like it. Musk.
You're not from here.
It's not a very Anglo name.
Yeah, Duck Dynasty. We'll make sure that boy don't get to be president.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Trump and all that in the reality TV, The network kicked Trump off of his own show, Celebrity Apprentice, after he made that famous speech about Mexicans and undocumented immigrants.
Didn't he sue them?
Yeah, he did. But just the same, apparently they've already found a replacement for Trump on his own show. And it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger. According to NBC,
that can't be real.
He's taking over the Celebrity Apprentice when it returns in the 2016-17 TV season.
He's looking a little rough these days. Have you seen him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Well, they make these guys up good on TV.
Yeah.
And Trump doesn't look rough.
Well, okay, sorry.
But Trump actually approves of the new hire, which is surprising because his relationship, as you pointed out, with NBC is not that great. But he tweeted, "Congrats to my friend Arnold. He'll be great. And we'll raise lots of money for charity. To all my fans, sorry I couldn't do it any longer, but my presidential run prohibits me from doing so." Love.
So let's just say that Trump does get elected president, just for fun.
Uh-huh.
How does he divest all of that money, all of those holdings?
Well, you just move it all over to a trust.
You put it over and it gives it to Ivanka.
Yeah.
Why do you have to divest it?
Well, it's part of the rule.
Part of the deal.
Part of the deal of being president of the United States.
You can't have any personal money?
No, you can have personal money.
You just can't be invested into the economy.
You can't have influence.
Right. I gotcha. Anything that he has an investment in.
Yeah. So if you own shares of General Electric, for instance, and you're the president, and you go up on stage and as the president, and you say, all right, part of my new energy policy is that everybody needs to buy these new light bulbs, and you hold up one that's only made by General Electric.
It's got a giant GE stamped on it.
Yes, exactly. And then you stand to gain from that.
Correct.
Now, of course, presidents do this all the time, but all their buddies gain.
There you go.
Right? Mm-hmm. When they'll say something and it moves the market in one direction or another.
Exactly.
I mean, it's all calculated.
And then they get a little greasing on the side.
Little greasing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Little grease.
And you never met a president who didn't want to be greased.
No. It's a fair amount of grease going on.
Yes, sir, buddy.
Yeah. All right. Hey, another thing, speaking of presidents, and the things that you do these days will get you run out of office in a hurry. But back in the old days, when John Quincy Adams was president in the 1820s, he would swim regularly in the Potomac River. I wanted to say Pontiac. In the Potomac River. At 5 in the morning, he'd swim regularly, but he would swim naked.
Right.
No.
And, oh, boy.
And it could get a little cold in the Potomac.
Chilly.
Get it?
Yeah. You betcha.
Right.
Feeds into the Chesapeake Bay.
Imagine your president naked every morning.
Yikes.
With today's social media and all of that.
I imagine that regularly.
Do you?
Yeah. You just tapped into one of my...
You fantasize of Obama naked?
Go-to fantasy. No, being the president. I'm the president.
You fantasize about being a naked president.
Yes.
That's kind of cool. Uh-huh. It's kind of cool.
I'm in the Oval Office. Da, da, da,
da, da. He's
feet
naked.
Feet up on the desk.
Yeah. All right. Coming up later in the program, it's a big show today. We're going to talk about marijuana. And we'll talk about marijuana with a guest who was on the program way back. For those of you who have been listening to this program for a long, long, long time, later in the show, it was November 7th, 2013.
God, you got a good memory.
No
that
kidding.
Cheryl and Amy Schumann were on the program.
Okay.
And
they came in and brought it. They smoked pot in
here? They came in here and brought a brick of hashish or something. And,
nice.
And Mike Stark inhaled it.
Oh, yeah. He's the king.
Yeah. Just went right up his nose it went.
Oh, yeah. There's a cloud over his house in Lakewood. Did you know that? Lakewood, California?
No.
You want to find the king?
No.
Drive under the cloud.
Right. Oh, great.
I've been saying that one for 20 years, huh, Mike? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. You know what Pilates is, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Big
where
fan.
Where hot chicks wear yoga pants.
Yeah, it was started.
Big fan.
It was started. It's as sexy as all get out. But it was started in an internment camp. Now, how sexy is that? A German athlete named Joseph Pilates was locked up by the British and came up with a way for his fellow German inmates to exercise when they were sick.
So this is World War II.
Stuck in bed. Yeah, exactly. So, all right, I'm just receiving information. Now that I invested all of that time into talking about what was coming up next, apparently it's happening on another show.
Hmm.
Or maybe it isn't. We have, we're still going to talk about marijuana.
Sure.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be good. There's just a twist. There's a massive twist in the interview.
In that?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
Can you give us a hint?
No.
You're going to rely on my expertise.
Yeah.
Well, the whole room, I guess.
No, right.
We have cultivation experts here.
Yeah.
We have drying and
what
curing
we need,
experts.
What we need is a doctor to make it all legitimate. Like Dr. Oz, for instance. You know, when he'll talk about something, like, here, put this coffee up your colon.
I think he's stoned every time I see that show.
Chris, is Dr. Oz finally changing his ways a little bit? Because he's been getting a lot of criticism about just shilling for other people's products.
Yeah, he is. He's changing his ways. He's changing the show. Dr. Mehmet Oz, by the way. Mehmet's his first name.
Uh-huh. Mehmet.
Says he's going to focus on the mind-body connection, be more inclusive of the audience, and feature a partnership with former U.S. Surgeon General David Statcher, M.D.
Hmm.
So yeah, he's faced a lot of criticism in the past for some of his advice given, and the show is now going to focus on medical and other experts whose advice will be based on research. Not so much opinion or gut instinct. Now, I have nothing against Dr. Oz, but with all the criticism that came to him, they've called for him to have his chair to be pulled as a chairman from the University of Columbia, I believe, for their surgeons area.
Really?
And these letters written by like doctors from some of the most prestigious colleges in the world who say, you can't just give this type of advice on television.
Well, yeah. There's another doctor's show, you know, with the five panels. It's called The Doctors, right?
Yeah.
They got a real sexy young guy, ER doctor in there, women love.
Sure.
He's getting a lot of competition from that show, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that how he kind of mixes in a Price is Right kind of deal. They'll bring a lady from the audience, and then he's got the wall, like the Plinko board, and it'll... this is your small colon.
Yeah.
You know, this is your intestine, right. Or your small intestine. This is your colon. All right, and you win.
And this is your brain on your colon.
Hey, when was the last time you recognized a magical moment that didn't appear on Facebook, Twitter, or some other social media, or like on the lens of your phone? A little enlightenment is coming your way with our next guest right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, we're back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
I can't. You know what? We're so connected. My wife has been listening to the program because she's a big Chris Martin fan, and Chris Martin is back.
Oh well, I'm a big Phil's wife fan.
I'm a big fan of hers too. Yeah. She's a cool lady.
Yeah, she's she all right.
Top notch.
The fact that we've been married for these 32 or so years is proof that she's pretty happening lady.
She's tolerant.
Remarkable, really. I have a hard time making it through 2 hours with you. Twice a week.
Goodness. All right, so I was thinking about her, and I just checked, you know, what do? I could go ahead and keep thinking about her, which is old school, or I could go to my phone and see if she sent me a text recently.
There you go. Go to the phone.
That's what I did. I went to, let's go to the phones.
And?
In fact, that's what we're going to do now. Joining us now is the author of the new book, How Overconnecting to Technology is Robbing You of Great Moments and Fabulous Relationships. The book's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Go get it. Gina Close is with us now. Hello, Gina. Did I say the last name properly?
You did. Yes, you did.
Wow, it sounds like you're right next door. I like that. And technology made that happen, by the way.
I love that.
Oh,
yes.
Good. I thought you were going to just outright poo-poo all things technology. But good, we're on the same street for a moment. Now, help me out. What is a magical moment? I mean, what qualifies? Because we're constantly posting our life's benchmarks on social media.
Well, we sure are. You know, a magical moment is a moment in time where we pause and experience real life, disconnected from our cell phones, computer, and other distractions. And my belief and what I teach in my book, it's in those real life moments where we can find meaning and clarity and a pause from our hectic day-to-day busy lives.
Yeah, well, the fact that my day is hectic and busy, all this technology helps me get through it a little easier, doesn't it? I mean, I can multitask constantly and send a little emoji kiss to my wife while I'm at it.
Well, I love you sending an emoji kiss to your wife, and I'm sure she loves that tool. The challenge is that technology is just that. It's a tool. And we live in a real world, not necessarily a virtual world all day. And I would never presume to tell people to not use technology because it's so important. It's noticing if we can't react or resist every beep for a text message or every ring on our phone. And are there times that you can actually turn it off and be with your loved ones and be with your friends and actually be with yourself and your own thoughts without the need to pick up a phone or pick up a tablet?
Yeah. You know what? We're trying to enforce a no digital dinner at the house, where everybody puts the phone away during dinner time.
Well, you and President Obama, he recently declared that there were going to be tech-free dinners at the White House because everybody kept picking up their phones and tablets. And, you know, if you come to dinner at my house, we share magical moments. And you can learn a lot about someone just by asking them, what's your magical moment? Which is the title of the book, What's Your Magical Moment?
Right. Okay. Now, is this something as basic as a deep conversation, a face-to-face conversation with somebody that you haven't spoken to face-to-face in some time? Is that magical in itself?
Certainly. I mean, you know, I always ask people, when was the last time you had a heartfelt moment with a friend or with a loved one or with your children without the need to pick up your phone? And that can be a magical moment.
Yeah, yesterday I had a magical moment with my wife, and I said, take a look at this video of a dog stopping soccer balls in front of a net. It's spectacular, isn't it? And it was magical.
That could be magical, enjoying that moment with your wife, but the magical part comes from realizing that you have your wife there present with you, enjoying time together.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's things that we're missing that.
Yeah.
Rarely do you see people looking up from their cell phones. You go out to dinner and everybody's on their cell phone. Parents are giving babies tablets and cell phones to comfort them rather than holding them or, you know, touching them.
I look at that and with disdain, but at the same point, I think, well, I would probably do the same if my kids were little at this point, because I used to camp them in front of Disney movies. And so I can't imagine really being truly disconnected from technology, because I'm connected to so much of it, not just the phone, so many different things at this stage of the game. But I constantly have this nagging feeling that maybe I do need to disconnect from all of that. And is that a common feeling that I'm being torn, but I don't want to rip through it?
Well, I think that society teaches us to be happy. We have to do more, be more, and have more. And technology is facilitating that. But rarely do we just pause and appreciate and experience the moments in our life with the people we love. And so in that striving to do more, be more, and have more, we sometimes feel empty. Sometimes our hearts and lives feel empty. And, you know, our life is filled with the moments of our stories. And at the end of our life, people rarely look back and say, wow, I wish I spent more time on technology. It's, you know, what are we working so hard for anyway? If you ask people, what are you working so hard for? We're working hard to have more time with our loved ones, to have fun, to have peace, maybe some time alone.
To get the latest smartphone from Samsung or Apple.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Or the new Apple phone that's out. I mean, a couple of days ago, they announced something pretty cool. And that's important, too. I would never say it's not important. It's just realizing when you can't resist holding your phone or connecting to your computer. I mean, how often can people just sit and be alone with their own thoughts? Really just have a moment with themselves and really enjoy the pleasure of their own company. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a teenage daughter too, and her cell phone's connected to her, and yet we make sure, and the holidays are coming up. I give magical moment experiences for gifts rather than stuff. We have more stuff. So I spend time with people one-on-one where I put down my phone.
Do you have to go somewhere? Do you have to go somewhere quiet and secluded, like the park or the beach or something like that? Because if you think about it, like anywhere you go, like you mentioned dinner earlier, there's going to be all those distractions, regardless of whether you're using your cell phone or whether the TV's on in the background, those distractions are still there.
You know, you can, right now where you are right in this moment, if you're driving in your car, if you're sitting at a stop sign, you can just ask yourself, what's a magical moment in my life? And your mind can carry you back to a time that was beautiful or challenging. There's magic in challenges as well.
Maybe collectively we've forgotten how to count our blessings because we're too busy being envious of other people's lives as posted on Facebook.
Well, that's right. I mean, and I think Facebook is a great tool to share magical moments that come from real life. I think the challenge is our younger generation is losing the ability to have face-to-face connection. I mean, those skills develop over life. Every experience that we have leaves a physical and emotional imprint. It's this whole concept of neuroplasticity. Mm-hmm. And if our children and even our babies now and our toddlers are learning to connect with technology, that's what they'll biologically connect to. And they won't have the ability to look at someone in the eye, to tune in to what they're feeling, to have an experience live with someone. And that's my biggest concern. And so in my book, I create a pathway for you to start sharing those magical moments.
That's what I want, is baby steps, because we're just about out of time. So help us out here. Just give us the beginnings, the prescription for somebody who wants to get back into normal human interaction.
Perfect. First, you just have to realize that your life is filled with magical moments. Just know it. And then ask yourself, what's a magical moment in my life? And then start asking the people around you, hey, what's a magical moment in your life? Whether it's at a lunch or a dinner or in the car, you learn a lot about people by finding out their magical moment. In my book, it's filled with stories from magical moments from people all around the world and in all walks of life, and gives you a path to do that with your family and with yourself.
Yeah.
And so just start by asking yourself that simple question. What's a magical moment in my life?
Mm-hmm. All right, good. Now I'm going to skip being alone with my own thoughts for a while because it truly has become rather scary. But the book is called How Overconnecting to Technology is Robbing You of Great Moments and Fabulous Relationships. It's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Go get it. Gina Close is the author.
And Phil?
And yes.
It's called What's Your Magical Moment, actually.
Oh, did I miss part of it?
That's okay. The title of the book's What's Your Magical Moment.
And then all the other stuff, too?
And all the other stuff, too. But really, it's your magical moment.
That's easier to remember. And do you have a website we could send people to as
I do. Gina Close, GINAKLOES.com.
Okay. We'll send people there. We'll add you to our links page. And it's been a pleasure speaking with you. And I feel like we connected on an intimate level.
On a magical level. Yes, we did. Thank you.
All right. There you go. See, I told you, my thoughts are scary because I immediately went for intimate. And she said, no, magical.
Yes, that was an interesting word. She diffused that real quickly.
That's the problem with our thoughts. You know, when you're busy typing them down on your phone constantly, they tend to, they go through, when you're on your own with your own thoughts, you could get into trouble.
Yeah, but I'm sitting here, and I've got a pretty good list of magical moments.
Yeah.
You know, mostly my son, some with my dog, some with my family a long time ago.
Agreed, and I think most people do also. I don't think there's many people that, regardless of whether they have a phone in their hand or not, don't relish some of the moments
of
their life.
Have you seen that video of the soccer goalie dog? Have you seen it?
But I just wrote it down, actually. I put it in my phone to watch it later.
All right, good. Hey, more states are considering legalizing recreational marijuana, and medicinal marijuana is spreading a lot faster. So the question is, have you added marijuana to your investment portfolio? The Wolf of Weed Street joins us next, right here in the studio at Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, deep breath, inhale, hold it, exhale. We're back here on Phil Hewlett and Friends, and so are you. Thanks for that. That's what makes this magical. We're talking, you're listening. And now we're going to talk about marijuana.
Uh-huh.
It's time for Pot Talk on the program, everybody. Joining us live in the studio is a guy who goes by the moniker The Wolf of Weed Street.
I like that.
He runs MarijuanaStocks.com, which he says is the biggest cannabis investment website in the United States. His name is Jason Spatafora, and he's right here in this here studio, and doesn't even smell like a spent bong.
Nah.
Thank you.
He's perfectly clear-eyed. He's ready to talk money.
Ready to go? I mean, it's late in the day, so today's stock trading has been done for a while, right?
He's ready.
About an hour.
Yeah. All right. How'd you do today?
To be honest, I didn't even open my account.
I've just been
too busy.
Now that's confident.
Yeah. Well, I'm fine. I'm in deep in like biotech right now, so you don't need to babysit those.
Look at this guy. So you're not 100% into the. Of course, you don't put all your eggs in your basket if you're going to be a good investor, right?
No, I mean I do primarily just invest in marijuana.
Oh, really? Now explain. How do you do that exactly? Because it seems to me like there are a bunch of potheads who think they're business people and they open up these businesses and then they. they get rolling, and the cash comes in. Then they spend the cash, and regular problems that happen with businesses start to happen, and they say, "Dude, that's harsh. I'm sleepy," and they don't manage the business like a typical business person would, and then things tank in a hurry. Is that what happens in the real world of marijuana business?
Well, you know, you have a lot of people that come on and, you know, they'll develop like a great app or something, and they make some money, they take it public, and then they just kind of sit back and coast, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, that's primarily what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can't coast if you're going to be competitive.
Exactly. You know, and you see there's a huge ability for people that are smarter to come in, take these ideas, roll them up, and, you know, repackage them.
Roll them up, huh? I got you. So there are a bunch of successful marijuana stocks. So explain to me what a business looks like that would be a successful marijuana stock.
Well, I mean, look, all these companies are primarily on the OTC, which is over-the-counter.
Okay.
And you know, they don't actually touch the plant. So it's all ancillary businesses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the picks and shovels. So you'll have people that are, you know, they sell grow lights or vaporizers, or they have some kind of disruptive technology like Mass Roots, for example.
Right. Okay. And is there a differentiation that you make between the recreational side of the business and the medicinal side of the business?
No, there's not really any difference.
Is there more money to be made in one side or the other?
No, it's just there's more money to be made if you pick the right companies, you know, and you trade on the momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a question. How about some of the big tobacco companies? How are they involved, and are they in a basket of stocks that you would you know, a mutual fund, that kind of thing. I just wonder.
Yeah, like Altria and like Laura Loward and all those. Like, are they going to get in? Yeah, eventually. It's going to have to be federally legal. You know, I actually have a business partner whose grandfather has a tobacco company. And the way that he, you know, gets away with not paying tax in the country is he sells all his tobacco in China and the UK.
Okay.
And he's been to the factory and he's seen the packaging for the marijuana cigarettes.
Right, so they're
ready. From Big Tobacco.
Oh. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, of course. And at some point, all the little guys will get squeezed out.
And 100%. And that's exactly what we're expecting.
Yeah.
You know, so the people that either evolve and, you know, team up, you know, like the Avengers or something, are the ones that are going to make it. But, you know, the other 95% of them are just going to go by the wayside.
Yeah. So what do? You get in when they're on the upswing and you get out in a hurry.
You buy the rumor, you sell the news. I mean, that's primarily how it works.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to put yourself in a position to get bought up by the big companies, right? I mean, that's got to be the goal of some of these smaller guys.
Yeah, it's the goal of, you know, I mean, even myself.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm private, you know, but, you know, I primarily do, you know, ad revenues. And, you know, basically what I do is instead of investing in some of these companies, I just circulate their information because I have such a big audience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and that's what they're buying. They're buying your audience. They're buying your subscription base, basically.
Yeah. And I don't even say go out and buy this stock. I just, you know, I tweet their news. I make, mm-hmm. you know, I start the conversation. And it's very effective. So, you know, our idea is to one day be like the Bloomberg of cannabis.
Yeah.
And then when it does go legal or an ETF is created, then we've got such a big audience that, you know, somebody comes in and just, you know, scoops us up.
Yeah. Right. So when a guy like Willie Nelson owns a marijuana company, there's some cachet behind a name like that. Other people are running the business, no doubt. He just has his name on it. Unless his hands are in there. He's like a cheesemaker, right?
He's a farmer.
He's got his hands right there making the cheese every day. I'm not sure exactly. But is that an example of a here today, gone tomorrow kind of a stock, marijuana stock?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Tommy Chong's done stuff like that. Everybody's kind of getting into it. You have Snoop Dogg that's trying to start a fund. You know, I mean, if it was a record label, yeah, maybe that'd be something I'd invest in. But unless he has, you know, some really good, investment bankers or just, you know, money guys mm-hmm. behind him, like, well, who would give money for him to sell?
So just because a guy smokes copious amounts of marijuana doesn't mean that he's going to put together a successful marijuana business.
Well, you have a lot of savvy people that are investing in this. It's not just potheads. I mean, you do for these penny stocks, it's primarily a lot of millennials. Mm-hmm. But I've seen millennials, I've seen a 20-year-old kid make almost $1 million in a 3-month period playing marijuana stocks.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. All right.
Well, what are some of the stocks that you are either looking at or that you trade?
Well, you know, it's the summer. You know, one thing that people should always realize is that the OTC basically shuts down from April 1st to October 1st. So you've got, you know, what I've been looking at has basically been like the big three, which is all NASDAQ companies. So it's GW Pharma, INSY, and then a new company called Zenerba. Now, Zenerba just did an IPO a couple weeks ago, and I've known about it. It wasn't a really well-kept secret, and I knew about it because there was an investment bank called Jefferies that was on it, and they took they were, you know, big analysts when it came to INSY and GW Pharma, and both of those stocks did unbelievably well. So, you know, I basically just kind of tweeted it, you know, go out and take as much – free up as much cash as you can for this IPO. These are the people that are involved, you know, XYZ. The thing IPO'd, it was supposed to open at $14. Instead, it opened at $15.50. 7 days later, it hit $39.
Oh.
So, and then I get a call from Bloomberg.
Yeah.
You know, saying, hey, how did you know? And I'm like, how did you guys miss this?
You're right.
You know? And a lot of it is just betting on the psychology of the marketplace.
And is that one of those where you get out right away, or do you hold on to that?
Look, if you take 100, if you get 100% on any stock and you don't take money, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Nate, you don't have to liquidate. You don't have to take it all, is what you're saying.
No,
but take your fair share.
Yeah, look, something like that is very liquid, so you could sell a little bit at the top, and then if you want to roll the dice, maybe you buy back in at support. But you have to. I always tell people, take your initial investment. Play with the rest.
Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
Exactly.
Yeah, the old saying. Now, why invest now? Wouldn't it be better to wait for the industry to kind of shake through its growing pains and establish? And then, like you say, there's ETFs and all that sort of thing. And there's some guidance. And it's an established industry. And all the stoner dudes on their couch trying to run a company are all out of the business. And it's all real business people running it.
So why now?
Yeah, why now?
Okay. This is actually, nobody's ever actually asked me this. Okay, let me give you a little context to this. So in 2013, Eric Holder, and this is how I got into marijuana stocks, said, you know, I think it was August 13th, not to be too specific.
Yeah.
he said, the Department of Justice is going to lay off states with marijuana laws on the books.
Good sign.
And essentially he was talking about Colorado.
Yeah.
And as we approached January 1st, 2014, when Colorado was going to go fully recreational and medical – all these marijuana stocks just skyrocketed.
Sure.
It was nuts. I mean, you had companies that have less revenues per year than I do in a month.
Yeah. It was reminiscent of the dot-com boom,
but
right?
a half a billion dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, you know, now we've got 2016, which is an election year, and you've got other states on the books that are coming, you know, for medical or recreational. And you also – and some of these are, you know, kind of purple states like Florida and everything else. So –
you know what? Before you finish answering the question, I want you to put a bookmark right where you are in the answer, because it's important that we delve into this a little more. And then look down the road just a little bit as well when we start adding this to our 401k at some point. And when companies look at it as a legitimate part of a portfolio for their employees – et cetera, so much to look at when we add some more fuel to the flame of this discussion, investing in marijuana. More of that coming up in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, what kids are doing now to get totally smashed. You will not believe what they're using, and you're going to start hiding it in your house the moment you hear. Plus, you ever drive up and down the coast of California? If you haven't done that yet, you need to do it. We're going to get a little travelogue from our travel guy who joins us a little later in the program. But right now, in the studio with me are Chris Martin, who's back after a little hiatus. Missed you, bro.
Yeah.
And Ted Pritchard, who we haven't seen since, 4 days ago.
Last week.
Yeah. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. And with us in the studio is Jason Spatafora. He's the Wolf of Weed Street. And you heard of the dot-com era. Well, there's also something that did you coin this, the dot-bong era?
I think I was quoted in BBC for dot-bong.
How long a period was that before at the beginning of the rush to buy those stocks and when the bubble popped?
I'd say it started in mid-October. You know,
last year?
Yeah. Oh, no, of 2013.
13, okay.
And then it lasted till probably the first week of April.
Ironic that it was 2013, wasn't it? 13 has a steeped connection to marijuana for some reason. The stocks that you invested in or the portfolio that you had during the dot-bong era versus, I don't know, the NASDAQ, how did it do?
Even if you held the stocks, it did 3,000%.
Oh.
And I didn't even know this.
And that's after they popped.
That was, that's from January 1st to April 1st. I actually had one of the tech bloggers from Google following me, and he had put this together for me.
Uh-huh.
And he sent it to me with a picture like, hey, Wolf, thanks for the solar panels on my house. This is what your portfolio has been doing.
Nice.
Even if you had held stocks that I said to get rid of, it was still 3,000%.
No kidding.
But I had runners in there that went 10,000% over the course of 3 months. I had two that went 1,000%. And then in Q4 of 2014, I had one that went 1,500, one that went 300%, and then another that ended up into 2015, it went 3,300%.
Then a lot of people put a lot of money into this concept because they believe in it, and they're saying, yeah, sure, all of this should be, I've been saying forever, it should be legalized. Let's invest in this. It makes a lot of sense. And then they lose their shirts.
Yeah, well, there's more to it. You know, you see, like, there's promotions, and there's this whole side of this whole community that, you know, a lot of people have no idea of what's going on.
Is there a bunch of pump and dump going on?
Yeah, there's definitely some of that. But, you know, you also have, people like shorts fighting, money guys. Mm-hmm. So people trying to just create short squeezes and basically get the guy that's shorting the stock to tap out.
Mm-hmm.
And cool. That's what we saw with this company. It's called THCZ, uh-huh. And it just went nuts.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, there's a lot of high stakes, high money wrestling going on at any given moment when you get into stocks and this whole marijuana thing. And before we took the break, you were right in the middle of explaining, and if you could just backtrack a little bit, I asked the question, why invest in marijuana stocks now rather than waiting till the industry kind of gets its legs and everybody calms down a little bit and says, okay, fine, this is a legitimate sector to invest in or to add to your portfolio?
I was basically talking a little bit about how Eric Holder had said that they were going to lay off states that had laws on the books, and then that carried into 2014, and all of a sudden everybody was talking about Colorado, how it went recreational. Then, you know, after we get the metrics from that experiment, we see that it was an unbelievable success. Deaths from overdose is down 25%. Commercial square foot for real estate is like quadruple. So there was this huge ripple effect. And, now it's going to be an election year. And, you know, marijuana and, you know, industrial hemp, for that matter, are becoming more and more topical. They're being more and more accepted. And people are going to turn out to vote. Unfortunately, you know, the Republicans don't see that, and they aren't really trying to capitalize off of that youth vote.
Yeah.
But, you know, now we're starting to see, you know, data come from doctors that, you know, cannabis needs to be studied, that it shouldn't be a Schedule I drug, So basically, the way they have it is heroin is a safer drug than marijuana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which, or cocaine. Like, nobody dies from smoking marijuana. You'd have to smoke like 10 pounds of marijuana in one shot to kill you.
Right. Well, okay. I suppose when you're going to be an investor with your eyes wide open, then you do have to discuss to a degree all the political issues out there and all the rhetoric and how marijuana is always said to be a gateway drug and all that, and it's not necessarily great for society. But the fact is, more and more states, and California is on the list, that will have recreational marijuana on the ballot. And when that happens, there will be things attached, paraphernalia and other items that have to be manufactured and sold and consumed. And those companies will make a profit and are worth looking at. Is that the way you operate?
100%. You know, there's too much money in it. You know, it's a completely new industry.
Well, how much money?
Billions of dollars. The growth from 2013 to 2014, I believe, was $1.7 billion industry-wide. Mm. And it's just doubling year over year.
Yeah.
And then with more states comes more money. And and it spurs on, you know, completely different industries and ancillary verticals.
California goes recreational. The industry could more than double, because I imagine that the consumption in California would dwarf that of Colorado and in the other state that's considering.
Almost just based on population.
Yes, right. I think so.
Let alone the liberalism. That,
Well,
then this is what comes. So the marijuana markets are catalyst driven. Mm-hmm. So California going fully recreational is a major catalyst. It's bigger than Colorado. Schedule 1 changes, you know, then that's an unbelievable catalyst. And then, you know, what Schedule 1 opens the door for is federal legalization.
Remind us again what Schedule 1 is.
Schedule 1 basically says that, you know, marijuana has absolutely no health benefits, that heroin or cocaine is a safer drug, which are Schedule 2 drugs. Mm-hmm. So right now the Schedule 1 drugs are like crystal meth, LSD, mushrooms.
Yeah.
And then it's like Schedule 2 is like heroin, cocaine, and like, you know, Oxycontin.
Yeah, who were the geniuses that put that together?
And Schedule 3 is what? Whiskey?
It doesn't even matter at that point.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask a question about what's going to be popular? Because we keep talking about medicinal use, recreational use, and how, you know, that's going to lead to being able to make more pipes and stuff like that. But you said earlier industrial hemp, and it seems to me that one of the most popular parts of the marijuana plant was the fact that you could build bridges and clothes and ropes and houses out of this really durable material. Is that really less popular than the fact that you can smoke it or get these CBDs for cancer patients?
Well, the CBD is interesting. Look, hemp is – it's really unfortunate, you know, what William Randolph Hearst did to that plant, because of, you know, a lot of people don't even realize that hemp doesn't have any THC, anything, you know, that kind of, you know, gets you stoned like THC. So, you know, but as an industrial product, it's unbelievable. I mean, the Constitution was drafted on hemp, you know, paper. And the reason that it was so vilified was that, you know, in the 30s, William Randolph Hearst, who was basically the Rupert Murdoch of his time, had all these newspapers, but he had a huge interest in timber for those papers. And hemp was a direct threat to his investment and everything that he had. So, you know, with the help of, I believe it was some congressman named Anslinger, they put up a bill that basically made hemp illegal. And then, you know, the whole like Schedule 1 thing happened much later. And the fake war on drugs and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, they demonized it, but is it coming back? Is hemp going to be a product that's going to be used in the future?
Yeah. So, you know, hemp is now – they're now letting farmers grow it. And it's that's the main thing. You know, for farmers in America, you know, the price of corn or soybeans or this or that, what they can do with hemp, every single portion of it is usable and there's a need for it. From anything from soaps to cleaning up industrial waste.
How about international distribution and paraphernalia? Is any other country on a par with the potential market here?
China, but if you smoke weed in China, I think they execute you.
So invest in bullets and guillotines then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. The website is marijuanastocks.com, the biggest cannabis investment site in the U.S., according to the Wolf of Weed Street, which his Twitter account is @WolfofWeedStreet. It's worth just looking at the banner photo. Trust me on that. Jason Spadafora, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks, guys. It was a good time.
Yeah, that's great. No smoke and mirrors, right?
No, none.
Okay. There he goes. Up next, we're going to catch up with the boys here with Ted and Chris. And what is it that it's in your house? It's almost everywhere you go. And apparently, down the gullet, it's going for the kids these days, and they're getting totally schnockered on it. We'll tell you what that is next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
Righto, thanks for coming back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have a website, atta.com, to the name of the show, and you're there, and you'll want to check the links page because the gentleman who was just here talking about marijuana stocks,
yeah.
His website is linked there. And also from our first hour, Jenny Close, who was on the program. Gina Close is her name. If you scroll down to the letter K... Just use the Alpha Jet on the links page at Phil Hewlett and Friends. Go to K and you'll see Gina Close. Check out our website. And there's some things that we want to add to the website today as well. We're going to talk to the Web Munchkins about this. I talked about you've already seen it, but the dog who was in the net playing soccer and stopping the soccer balls. Just spectacular.
You mean Air Bud?
It's something like that. But there's also National Geographic posted a cool video that we're going to try to get this. It was on their Instagram, so it takes a moment to get that onto our page, the show fun page. But this is a crocodile jumping straight up out of a river to grab a piece of meat.
Oh, boy.
And it jumps so high, its entire body is out of the water except for its the tip of its tail, which answers the question, how high can a crocodile jump? High enough to grab a chunk of meat, that's for sure. But they probably jump up and grab birds out of trees.
Sure, man. You betcha.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very powerful.
Well, you're from the south. You see gators down there.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
One time I was at the University of Florida. Uh-huh. I was going to a football game there, actually.
Yeah.
Walking up the parked my car. There's a nice little pond there, right?
Yep.
There's a couple of drunk fraternity boys throwing a football back and forth. Football goes out in the water.
Yeah.
And there's a cute little sign that's got the Wally Gator thing there. You know, you see on the side of the football helmet. It's a real smiley little gator.
Sure, yeah.
And it says, don't feed the gators. Okay? And you think, oh, that's a cute little joke. And then all of a sudden, that football... Two eyes appear behind that football and start pushing it around.
Uh-oh.
And that was, I don't know if it was Wally the Gator, but that was some gator right there. He's about a six-footer in that pond right there.
Right,
where about 10 feet where I parked my car.
Don't want to mess with a gator, that's for sure.
Uh-uh.
And you don't want to mess with a Ukrainian woman with powerful thighs. A 30-year-old woman named Olga Lyshchuk. She's from the Ukraine. She holds the world record for using her powerful thighs to crush watermelons.
What a woman!
That's a useful thing to do, isn't it?
Sure.
On a morning show in England, she was on. They had her on Thursday to show off her skills.
A morning show in England.
Yeah, well, she didn't set a new record or anything, but she did manage to crush 3 watermelons between her powerful Ukrainian thighs in about 20 seconds.
Wow.
And there's video of this, and we're going to give that to the Web Munchkins to get on the website.
That's better than the cat falling down the stairs.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, you don't see that on American television, although, you know, you could pull the same trick with balloons. Just overinflate balloons, put some girls on the floor squeezing balloons between their legs. Ratings will go through the roof.
That's a bar contest, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. So now, these days, there's so many things in your house that the kids are just they're huffing it, they're drinking it, they're doing whatever they can. Apparently, kids have nothing but time on their hands and little or no self esteem or self respect left, and they just want to get so loaded they die.
And no fear.
Yeah, none whatsoever, and apparently no logic or brain capacity to understand that some things are just poison. But in this case, I don't know if this is poison, and it doesn't sound like it's tasty. But what are the kids drinking these days to get drunk?
It's poison, Phil, because poison control centers throughout the country are receiving an alarming number of reports of children and teens drinking hand sanitizer.
God. Oh, they're having sanitizer parties?
They are. Hand sanitizer gels contain 60 to 95% ethanol. That is the same chemical in liquor, wine,
gasoline.
Beer.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Wow. Petrol.
So, yeah. Your mom ever, say she's going to wash out your mouth with soap? You know how terrible that was?
Yeah, right. You're
staying hacked.
No alcohol in that soap, though.
Oh, yeah, I know. But think what that tastes like.
No.
Apparently not so bad. The kids really like the ones that are scented.
Oh, boy.
If they're scented like strawberry or apple or whatever, apparently it tastes like the scent. And, imagine your hand sanitizer bottle that you would have on your desk at work or something of the sort. It's got the little push button top.
Yeah.
Squeeze handle, and the kids will just take it and hit a few shots in the mouth, and only takes 2-3 and bang.
And they've got a couple of those on the counter in the main office at the school.
Yeah.
And so when you're waiting to be sent to the principal's office, when the receptionist is looking the other way, a couple squirts, and there, you're good to go, and you go in to see the principal.
Great time at the principal's office.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the problem is they're overdoing it, the kids, because you can imagine how easy it is to just start squirting this hand sanitizer in your mouth.
Yeah.
It causes severe intoxication, especially in young people, and they're ending up in the hospital for alcohol poisoning, things like that. Then they got to get charcoaled or stomach pumped. Sanitizer drinking cases have increased 400% in the last 4 years. So
Yahoo.
Becoming very popular.
And so they fart bubbles?
I don't know, but that the Palmolive and the other companies that make the sanitizers, they've been marketing the kids forever. So that this is our new kick. We got to get on their case. You know,
crazy
with the new kid colors and unicorns and all these other things on the bottles, right? I'm being facetious. Go ahead. Let's go to the next topic. Duck Dynasty. Those guys have been allowed to breed, and they have offspring. Some
boy,
of them,
they breed like something else too, man. That's one guy. What's his name? It's Jessica, and her husband Jeff is the youngest of the Robertson.
How young
boys.
Are they? They're in their 30s, aren't they?
Probably.
Yeah.
You can't really tell. They hide behind those big chin pillow beards.
Jessica's got one of those?
I don't know about Jessica.
Yeah, all right.
I think she's bald as it. Well.
Okay, fine.
But at any rate, they wrote a book. Jeff and Jessica did, and it's called The Good, The Bad, Grace of God, and Good, the Bad, and the Grace of God.
Yeah.
What Honesty and Pain Taught Us About Faith, Family, and Forgiveness.
Can they fit all those words on the cover of a book?
I don't think they could spell all those words, to be quite honest with you. But actually, I heard an audio interview with Jeff, and it sounded like a really good guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He said, we never really spend, don't spend a whole lot of money. We make a lot of money, don't spend a whole lot of money. If I go to a restaurant and spend more than $100, I feel bad.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty indicative of his old personality. He's just he's a good old boy.
Yeah. But, who doesn't? If you're not the kind of family that goes out and dumps a ton of cash at a restaurant, $100, when you hit that $100 plateau at the restaurant, it's weird, right?
That's a lot at Applebee's.
That's
a ton.
Yeah, now it's easy to do with four people.
Well, sure it is.
It's easier with five people.
Well, now just think about it. If you meet up with all your brothers who live on the same road as you do, they all got three or four kids.
And you all get a steak.
And everybody goes in there.
And an iced tea.
Get the all-you-can-eat buffet.
And some cheesecake.
Yeah.
Now you're talking $25 a piece at least.
Big, big night out.
Yeah. That's why I was always taught that if you're going to volunteer to buy a meal, make sure that it's either breakfast or Mexican food.
Yeah, right.
One of the two.
That's very good advice.
Any one of those, that's when jump on the wagon. Yeah. Go ahead and volunteer. Don't worry, I got this. I'll get your breakfast.
Yeah. And don't worry about the Mexican food not being expensive. It's all profit.
Seemed like a good guy. I don't know what kind of problems they went through that they had to discuss all that publicly, but, evidently.
Well, I did hear that the daughter, she's in this book, reveals that there was some sexual abuse when she was younger.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Which one? The daughter that was on Dancing with the Stars?
The one in this book. What's her name again?
Jessica.
Jessica.
That's the wife, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The wife. Yeah.
And she was abused.
Yes.
By probably her uncle.
It could be.
With no teeth.
Yeah. Anyway, they all seem like nice enough guys.
They do.
You know who else seems like a nice enough guy just from another planet these days is Gary Busey.
Gary.
Gary Busey.
He's good television, isn't he?
Yeah, he's great. Oh, we mentioned Dancing with the Stars earlier too, which Gary Busey is on. I don't know all of the cast of characters
It doesn't
are
matter.
On
Gary Busey's on, and that's all you need to know.
And he steals the limelight, of course. Yeah. You know, I just pulled a couple of memorable moments as I was surfing around. You know, Gary Busey was definitely a headlining act, not because of his dancing, which.
How was
looked
that?
Like he was it was not good. Now he got 15 out of 30, I believe, for the judges' score. But yeah, it looked like he was having a panic attack slash spazzing out there on the floor, kicking his legs around. But he did have some interesting Gary Busey like phrases. he says, "I dance in a Cosmo of riddles." When asked about dancing, when he was asked if he had fun out there, he said, "Oh, yeah, fun. Fun means finally understanding nothing." Whatever that means.
F-U-N, yeah.
Yeah, right. And then when he was given his score of 15, he said, "Oh, that's 1 plus 5 equals 6. That's the double trinity."
Attaboy. That's how to figure it out.
That on live television.
I heard Paula Deen was drunk.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's what I heard. She could barely speak. And the guy she was dancing with had to turn her around so she'd face the camera.
Maybe she felt lighter on her feet.
She looks different. She looks like she's lost some weight.
She's cut out the butter.
Maybe stressed out a little bit.
She's cut out the butter.
Yeah, that's impossible.
Right.
Hey, you know what? If you live in California or nearby or you're going to visit, there's a trip you need to take. And honestly, if you haven't done it, what's the matter with you? Up or down the coast, frankly. And which is the better route, though? The 101 or the 1? Maybe they're both good. Our travel guide takes you through the coast next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, here we go on a trip.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of gorgeous rides all over the country. And thanks to Harry Truman, we have this remarkable highway system in this country. You can go across the country on the 10 or the 40 or the 70. Those are great trips. The 95 on the East Coast up and down is nice. And various and sundry other highways. But we're going to focus on the West Coast up and down. And we have, of course, two ways to do that, the 101 and the 1. Which is better? Where do you stop? Where do you keep going? We need our travel guy for that, and he's cracked open a nice cold one to talk to us, and it's Gary Warner. Hey, Gary. Nice to talk to you.
Actually, I'm having an espresso today.
So
I finally got out of L.A., so I've got some nice weather here in Camarillo, just over the hill in Ventura.
That used to be known for strawberries, right?
Yeah, probably. You know, now it's just known for real estate, you know, like everything else.
Sure, of course.
But you know, there's basically two ways that you can go out of L.A., and they're both big star havens, and that's a little bit what I wanted to talk about. You know, everybody knows Highway 1 and Malibu, and everybody that's lived in Malibu over the years, going back to the 1920s, you know, the famous colony there, they've had these battles over beach access. David Geffen, you know, put up a big iron gate to keep people from going through to the beach, even though it's a public beach. But recently, the area off of Highway 101 has become sort of a haven. It's like horse country around Calabasas.
That's where Bieber lives, right?
Justin Bieber moved in a few years ago, creating a big to-do. And Kanye and is it Kim that he's married to?
It's Kim Way and Condoleezza. I don't know. who knows? There's some celebrities there. And so far, you haven't named any that I'd like to live in the same neighborhood with.
Well, you know, they live up there. And when Justin came in, all of a sudden the paparazzi were there at Calabasas Town Center and things like that. And at one point, he was roaring around in his Ferrari. And Keyshawn Johnson, the NFL wide receiver, stopped him and basically berated him in the middle of the street over, you know, what he was doing. So
that could have ended in another way. I mean, if Keyshawn followed through with his rage at that moment, that would have been much more enjoyable.
He might have been beat up by Justin Bieber.
Oh, yeah, big time.
If I was Justin, I wouldn't get out of the car, right? But, you know, the thing is that it's close enough to Los Angeles and all the entertainment stuff there. Plus, here in Camarillo, there's a good-sized airport that handles a lot of these private jets that can come out. So you don't have to go into LAX or anything like that and helicopter in. You can come into Camarillo, and then Camarillo is kind of where the 1 and the 101 meet. And you know, within a half hour to an hour, you're in your mansion.
Yeah. And well, we don't have a mansion, but it's a nice ride, and you can get there various ways. You could skip the whole downtown slot and go drive up around, what is it, Santa Paula or where the Reagan Library is. Come down.
Simi Valley.
There you go. You can drive around. We've got extra freeways out here, just to, you know, spare freeways in case you ever need them, and you can avoid the downtown slot. It's longer by the way the crow flies, but it's about a half an hour to 45 minutes faster. And then before you know it, you're in Camarillo.
Yeah, there's a really cool restaurant at the Camarillo Airport, too. It might be called the Aerodrome. I haven't been in there in years, but, yeah, because it's a private airport. They got a lot of cool planes. When, the Confederate Air Force flies around, you know, you see the B-50. Right. They land there.
Yeah.
Cool
All right. And so, okay, now we've only traveled about a 1/16th of the coast of California, and you're not going to stop in Camarillo, are you?
No, I'm going all the way up back up to Oregon.
Oh, good.
And so I'll be kind of hop, skipping, and jumping. I'm going to be in Santa Barbara tonight.
Yeah.
And then up the coast, there's those big wildfires, as you know, in Northern California.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to figure out how to get around those, and that seems to be by sticking to the coast.
Yeah, so you'll stay on the one, which means you'll head up through San Luis Obispo. You'll get past to what? Morro Bay. There's a giant rock that looks like a football sitting right there in the water.
Right. I'll wave at the Hearst Castle, you know, back when newspapers actually made money.
Mm-hmm.
Up through Cambria and that area.
It's beautiful. Moonstone Drive in Cambria is a must-see. It's just a beautiful place.
Great spot. Moonstone Beach on Moonstone Drive. Wonderful spot for, you know, that's putting on the sweater and having a walk with your honey.
Yeah.
You know, I really love that area up there. And then on up, we'll see if I'm going to jump back over to 101 or if I'm going to continue on one up through.
Well, stay on the one, especially up to Half Moon Bay. If you can get that far up to Half Moon, you're going to get past Pismo and keep going. You're almost to San Francisco and Half Moon Bay. Speaking of restaurants at, and I hate to be the travel guy here, but this is something I know. Speaking of restaurants at airports, if you go into the Half Moon Bay Airport, which is just a little small, like a Cessna airport, And you walk into the doors of the terminal, which is basically just a little, it's a shack, and you make a left turn instead of a right. You go right to, if you're going to book a private plane, and you go left if you get into the restaurant, and there you will have the most amazing breakfast you'll ever eat. And this is the kind of place where if you wanted to have one of those special crab Benedict breakfast.
Yeah.
They've got something like that, and I don't know what they call it, but it's just spectacular. You wouldn't expect
it.
It's you expect a guy in with an oil can and those gray striped overalls to come up and say, "Would you like your Cessna lubed?" Excuse me, no. And then they serve this wonderful meal. It's great.
One of the secrets is these little airports sometimes are basically, it's wealthy folks who are able to drive around in these aircraft now. And so they like to have something a little bit better.
Another thing nice about it is there is a history of aviation on the walls inside this restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's something else. Okay, so we're almost
early for the Pumpkin Festival, though.
Oh, yeah.
Bay, which is a great little event.
So we're almost up to San Francisco now. That might be your way around the fires, is to stay close to the coast.
Right, cross the Golden Gate, up through Marin. You know, maybe either, at that point, either go up through Mendocino or up through the Redwoods. I love the Redwoods. You can actually get to the one at the top and then go over to the 101 on this drive that will make just about any stomach turn, you know.
Oh yeah,
it's quite the carsick drive. But I'm just really looking forward to it. It's nice and cool. You know, after the summer of heat and fires and smog and everything like that, it's just so nice to be up here near the water.
And when you get all the way up to the top of California, there's a couple of places you're going to check out, right?
Right.
Beaches in Southern California are for tourists, right?
Right.
They're covered in sand, and everybody's beautiful. And you get up to Northern California, up there in the Gold Coast, and all the way up to the Oregon border, and now you're talking just rugged, and you've got to have some spirit to hang out down there because it's the water's freezing cold.
Yeah.
And there are rocks everywhere, and giant, the size of giant squids, like right out of a Jules Verne novel, but it's seaweed right there on the beach, right?
Well, you know, and if, a little further south, there's Big Sur and all that area. And
oh, beautiful.
Of course, up the Oregon coast, heck of a head.
And the big waves in Santa Cruz, that's always
the big
fun.
Waves at Santa Cruz at, what do they call that, something alley.
Steamer's Lane.
Steamer's Lane, that's right.
Yeah.
They have the Cold Water Classic there, surfing contest. You know, these are all great spots. It's a great time of year right now because the Winnebagoes are off the highway. So, you know, the one is just terrible in the summer.
Now, which is it? Is it Eureka or Wairika? There's two of them, right?
Eureka's on the one.
Yeah.
Or on the 101, and Wairika is on the 5.
Oh, so either way. And you could stay, by the way, we're not on the 5 today, but if you wanted to go all the way to Alaska, you could stay on the 5.
Right.
You can go all the way to Alaska on, well, not to Alaska, but you can go all the way to the Canadian border on 101 or on 395 if you want to go even further to the right. Exciting places like Susanville, you know, but... Yeah. It's just, you know, this is a big, long state, and when you get to San Francisco, you're really only halfway up the state. People think of San Francisco as Northern California, but it's really, you know, middle of the state.
Yeah, you got a long ways to go, and definitely worth checking out if you ever have a couple of weeks to just blow on scenery. And just drive. There's no reason to drive fast from one place to the next.
Right.
Just take it easy.
If you're driving too fast, Keyshawn's going to come out, you know, and tell you he's going to beat you up.
You have to look out for the bikers these days, too, not the guys in the Harleys, the guys on riding their bicycles, especially in Big Sur. They're trying to make that whole trip from the cutoff at the 101 all the way up to past Big Sur, and they want to get into the other side, which is, of course, Carmel.
And they come in these groups, these big groups, and they're wearing, like, their spandex spacesuits. And, yeah, they think they own the road.
I sense a touch of disdain in your voice when you're describing them.
The thing is that these are great athletes, obviously, that are doing this thing, but they seem to want to be a car when it's to their benefit, and they want to be a pedestrian when it's to their benefit.
Oh.
And so you'll see them blow through stop signs and things like that,
mm-hmm.
and yet at the same time they want to share the road with you, and you've got to loop out around them on some of those curves.
Well, you know, next time you're pulling up on one of those winding roads and there's a group of bikers, why don't you just kind of sneak up on them like you're in a hybrid and then lay on your horn and see what happens.
Nah, I think I'll stop at Eslin.
You know, there's the 3-foot rule now. You have to give them at least 3 feet. Between you and your car.
There's in some places on the one in Big Sur, there is not 3 feet available.
No.
Probably not, but it's still the law.
Yeah.
And you know, the rains haven't come yet, so the annual Big Sur, you know, Highway 1 washout hasn't happened yet.
No.
So it's just a really nice time of year. You know, it's summertime's over, and you get a little bit more of the place yourself. I've had no problem getting accommodations.
This time next week, will you be back in Oregon?
I'm not sure. I'm a traveling man.
Okay.
I'm just going to see how I feel like going.
And if we see any headlines, driver attacks bicyclists, we'll worry that perhaps it's you.
That's right. Or bicyclists attack driver.
Gary Warner, great to talk to you. Safe travels, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
All right. There he goes. Our Gary Warner.
Sounded good, didn't he?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's in Camarillo. You ever been to Camarillo?
They
have the big outlets out there. If you like to go shopping, buy a knockoff purse or two.
I bought my son's prom suit at the Camarillo outlet.
Really?
You betcha.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. All
sure
right.
Did.
Good.
And I'm not kidding about that little restaurant at the airport there. It's really cool.
We'll try that out. And I'm not kidding about the one in Half Moon Bay.
There you go.
You think I'm a kidder?
That Gary.
Don't kid the kidder.
We had him fooled.
Yeah, we did. All right, coming up next, something that we've never told you before.
Oh?
Here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, I watched it, and it's just one of those whoa kind of things. The Ukrainian woman who uses her powerful thighs to crush three watermelons in 20 seconds. It's on the Show Fun page, prominently displayed near the top, so I do recommend that you watch it.
Yeah.
It's the third one's the best, by the way.
The third watermelon that yes. she crushes?
Uh-huh.
Oh, she got warmed up.
Yeah.
Right.
And I could you crush a watermelon even by sitting on
no,
it?
No, I'd have to have a hammer.
Yeah. It's amazing.
The old hammer thighs Ukrainian chick.
Now, the problem of homelessness across the country is a problem that nobody has quite figured out. Civic leaders, whoever, they haven't quite figured out what to do. Do you just give them a lot of money and buy them a place to live, or do you train them, you feed them, or do you make it more difficult for them to hang out in your town? And that seems more and more what a lot of municipalities are opting for, Ted.
Yeah, rather than dealing with the problem directly, which is maybe, I don't know, create. We do have a lot
difficult.
Of shelters and things. Now. Yeah. We have a lot of private like churches and those kinds of things that are providing, you know, shelter and food for these kind of people. But don't tell that to the people of, you know, the government of Orange County, California, because they're just trying to make everybody else more comfortable.
These are the county supervisors? Is that
I would
that
assume
is?
So. So yeah. What had happened was it was a woman, I believe a Huntington Beach resident, who would wait at a certain bus stop every day in the Orange County bus, you know, those fine people at the bus company there. Well, she complained because there would be homeless people, men or women, I guess, sleeping on the benches that were there provided for people to wait for the bus. So the commission, the county commission, decided, well, we'll just put together a little bit of money, like $150,000, and replace, you know, a good many of the bus waiting place seats.
Yeah.
With those that are vagrant proof.
Bus shelters?
Yeah, the bus shelters.
So there's a little roof on it, and on the sides they've got an ad for the latest movie.
Correct.
Yeah.
So yeah, but the benches in there are now no longer flat benches that you can lie down and sleep on.
Oh.
Thus depriving so many homeless
people.
Now,
how are they shaped?
Well, they look like the seats in a theater or in an old ballpark where they have the iron.
Armrests. Yeah.
Armrests right in there. So they
got them with the armrests.
Limited. So they got to sleep sitting up or you know, just kind of
go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else.
Find another
spot.
Well,
that's a humanitarian way to handle the problem.
Absolutely,
I suppose. Yeah, it's fine.
Why? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that, you know, private groups, churches, foundations could put something together and help these guys out.
Well, how about the government agencies also? Well, you could put it on churches and private groups?
They all do a lot of good work.
Well, that used to work back before you were around there, Chris, and when before people started believing that government was the answer to everything, which ultimately government, experience, has been messing up a lot of stuff.
I just think I know the mission up here in Long Beach. We did a big, huge food drive for them years and years and years ago, and they do a tremendous job with people, who don't have a place to sleep or don't have anything to eat.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the key with a lot of homeless people is that there's a bunch of categories of homeless. I mean, there are those who just fell on hard times and they want to get back into mainstream society in a hurry any way they possibly can, but they just need a little kickstart. And then there are those who just kind of lost the belief that they could still manage. And
give up, or it's a choice.
Yeah, and perhaps they just need to be... somebody needs to take them under their wing and
rehabilitation.
Show them that, and make sure that they're off the drugs or whatever it is that's keeping them down. And once they start believing that they can, you know, get them a little job and they start getting that self-esteem back, and sooner or later something goes. Now, that's oversimplifying the process,
sure,
of course, and it's different in every case. But it does take a lot of work, and just, I don't know. It just seems a little heartless to me that you're not going to let somebody sleep on a park bench. How many times has
Doesn't it seem a little selfish that you're depriving people of being able to sit on the bench as well? What do those people have to stand on the street?
Both ways.
Yeah, I know. But how often has that been a problem? I just wonder if it's an endemic problem in all the bus shelters in what is this, Huntington Beach or throughout Orange County, which is a huge place. I drive through Orange County all the time, and I can't tell you the last time I've seen somebody sleeping on a bus shelter.
Well, but
bench.
It's also an example of local government overreaction. One person complains, and they change all the bus seats.
No, it'll look good on a pamphlet during election time. This is what I did to or it'll look good for the opponent. This is what your heartless supervisor did.
It's not as bad as all those pieces of metal they put on the handrails and benches so I can't skateboard on them anymore. I can't do my jump and ollie grabs.
No, of course not.
Off the planters.
Yes.
I don't ride a skateboard.
No. All right.
Bust my neck.
But how's your upper body strength?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Could you compete in American Ninja Warrior?
I could compete in phase one. It's stage one of American Ninja Warrior. Yeah, that show's great to watch.
I love that show.
Yeah, there's a part of you that wants to compete. And after seven years, and about 3,500 contestants that have gone through that obstacle course, the American Ninja Warrior has crowned its first ever champion of the course.
How come it took so long?
Well, they got to get
the
all the way through.
The course is so difficult.
They got to do Mount Midoriyama. Is that what it's called?
Mount Midoriyama. You get the twisted vert wall.
Mount Midoriyama is the final.
It is. That's stage four, which, by the way, nobody had even gotten to stage four prior to this individual winning.
Well, who is it?
His name's Isaac Caldiero. This happened yesterday.
Oh.
This happened Monday.
Yeah,
and he's 33 years old. They were out in Las Vegas. He completed all four stages of the very monstrous obstacle course. He won $1 million. But here's the crazy part. Imagine being this guy. He wasn't the only one to complete the obstacle course that day. Two guys completed the stage four American Ninja Warrior course. Problem is, the second guy took 3.6 seconds longer to complete the course, so he missed out on the $1 million.
How much difference time?
3.6 seconds, Phil.
Yeah.
3.6 seconds separating him from $1 million. You know what the second place prize is?
No.
Nothing.
No.
Yeah. That's a metaphor for life, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
I bet the Ukrainian chick that smashes watermelons could win that thing.
No, I think so. And you can't win that thing with strong thighs. You got to have upper body strength. Almost every
upper
one of those.
Body.
Yeah, you got to be pretty light. It seems like the ones that operate the best are around 170 pounds, very strong upper body.
Yeah. Well, here's what you need to know, and if I could just leave you with this. According to a new survey, 44% of women have something in their closet they know they will never wear again, but they won't get rid of it. 42% keep clothing that don't fit them anymore because they're hopeful to lose weight and put it on again. And 23% claim they have nothing to wear, even though their closet is full of clothing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Just thought I'd leave it.
I actually fall into all those categories.
Do you?
I'm not a woman, yeah.
I go through every 6 months to a year, and I look at something. If I haven't worn it in 6 months, bang, out it goes.
Chris, a pleasure to have you back.
Yeah.
I've got pairs of socks older than you, son. Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're on Twitter at Faf Show. We're on Facebook. Like us. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who forgot to show up. For Ted and for Chris, I'm Phil. And for all the friends, can't wait to talk to you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.